Welcome to the American Classroom Podcast, where we explore the role of education in building a civil society here in America. So I'm Jared Taylor. I'm here with Lindsay Crosley, my co-host, and today we have a special guest, Heidi Udall, returning. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you.
Morning.
Morning.
It's a beautiful day here in Arizona, and we're going to explore the learning that happens outside of the classroom, because Heidi has a lot of experience in that, and Lindsay, you do too as well.
A little bit, yeah.
So let's start, Heidi. Why don't you just remind the listeners, you're the first person that's come back as a repeat guest, so thank you for doing that. Why don't you remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and tell us about the first field trip that you remember?
Okay. I'm happy to be here today because I love to travel, so that's what we're talking about. I am the principal of Heritage Academy Mesa. This is my 20th year as an educator, and I'm passionate about it and grateful that we can learn in the classroom and outside of the classroom. So the first field trip I remember is I grew up in Salt Lake City, and I went to Lowell Elementary School, which was in the Avenues. And we were going to see the governor's mansion, and we walked there. And as we walked from Lowell Elementary to the governor's mansion, I just remember looking around and just noticing so many different buildings, noticing just excited to be out of the classroom. We toured the governor's mansion, and then we ended up having some extra time, and so our teacher took us further towards Salt Lake City, and we passed the Cathedral of the Madeleine.
Oh.
And I remember stopping and looking up at this magnificent building and being in awe of what it was, wondering what happened inside, what it, you know, about the architecture, which was so different than the other buildings downtown. And
wow,
I can still see my little, probably third grader person looking up at that building and thinking about it.
Oh, wow. That's fun. That's good. I remember my first little field trip was right here, and we went to a high school. I can't remember which one it was, but we saw a performance of Peter and the Wolf. They had a beautiful orchestra, because you know that the symphony of that is beautiful. Do you remember your first field trip?
You know what? I just remember going to McCormick Ranch Park. I grew up in the West Valley of Phoenix. McCormick Ranch Park, it was a historic park, and I remember seeing peacocks and learning a little bit about the area, and I'm sure there were other field trips before that, but that's the first one I remember.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, it's a big role, and you've taken hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know. You've taken a lot of young people on field trips. So tell us a little bit about some of those and how you've seen, how was your thinking about that? Why is that so enriching?
So I traveled with students for about 10 years, and another English teacher and I took groups of between 25 and 40 to Europe. And the first trip that we took was Italy. And our thought was, seeing the world changes the perspective of your own country. It changes the perspective of yourself. And so the first trip was sort of a test project. Is this something we want to do? And we had such a great response, then we just continued doing it.
Wow,
and we primarily went to Europe. We did an Alps tour, Italy a couple of times. We did London, Paris, the Normandy beaches. We did Greece. And so we had a variety of places we took kids. And as I thought about, okay, what were the big takeaways, is I have a picture in my mind of myself sitting in front of Windsor Castle with one of our 18-year-olds who had just graduated from high school, who was so homesick she was practically paralyzed.
Oh.
And other images of kids standing in front of the David by Michelangelo and talking about what they had learned in anatomy class and how Michelangelo clearly understood anatomy. And so my motives really were to just expose kids to other cultures so that they could smell and taste and see and feel and experience those cultures, and then that gives them an opportunity to reflect on their own culture.
Well, you're gonna have to take me to Europe. That's one place I haven't been, and I'd love to go there. It's
okay.
Been around sub-Saharan Africa a little bit, which is great. But so I'll take you on a safari if you take me around Europe. How's that?
Done. Well, and part of the appeal for me is my mom is an immigrant from Germany, and so I grew up in a home that had that different perspective.
Family history.
Absolutely. Every time I go, I think of her.
Yeah, no, that's good. Have you thought about what your life would be like without all that travel?
Certainly, yes.
There's a lot of people that have never really even been east of the Mississippi, mm-hmm. you know, for those of us in the West.
I think I'm a people person. I love to learn people's stories. I love to just imagine how their experiences are different than my own, so that I can understand them. And then it helps me, I think, become a more empathetic human being. And I think my life would have been more limited, because while I'm a big reader and I love to imagine in those areas, just sitting with people and looking in their eyes and hearing their stories in their country, tasting their food, hearing their language, it's just a different experience. Also, I had the opportunity, when my husband and I graduated from college, we backpacked through Europe for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then we spent 3 weeks in the USSR in Russia.
Oh.
And we were convinced there was a KGB person on our tour, and maybe there was, I don't know. But I can tell you that I had never been so grateful to come home to America, and that when we landed and I saw the flag, I became emotional, because while we'd had this wonderful experience and we had and just so many different places, what you do when I think you travel is you start to reflect on how things are different, and that's okay. And what I encourage travelers to do is don't judge the country you're in while you're there. Just be open to the experiences.
Mm-hmm. Understand it.
Yes. And then come home and reflect on what did you learn. And often it's when you see the differences, whether it be in governments, whether it be in foods or housing or whatever, then it helps you become more grateful. So I think my world would have been, I would have probably been a smaller person
than I
am
great. Now. That's a great perspective. And Lindsay, you've done some travel and learning in a little different context. Tell us a little bit about your background there.
Yeah, so many. But when you were talking, it made me think of the term. I'm an anthropologist. My degree is anthropology. So there's a term called ethnocentric, where you only see the world from your own perspective. And what I love about traveling and learning about other cultures is that you get out of that. You start to see it from their perspective and other cultures. I love that. I'm the same as you. I love learning why people are the way they are. I did a study abroad through university and got to live in Israel. And so I lived in Israel for 4 months and then was able to travel to other nearby countries throughout the Middle East. And then that was such an educational experience. And then that gave me the confidence. Then I've traveled to quite a few countries just by myself or with a group of friends after that. And I felt confident. I took a job with the U.S. Navy in the Middle East. And I felt comfortable just going there by myself mm-hmm. because I had become familiar with the culture and the people and the space. And a lot of people were, why are you going to the Middle East? And I had such a love for the people and such an interest in learning more about the area that I was really excited. And so I think that's what one of the values of doing a study abroad or traveling with a group is, that you can just start with some confidence that you can be in an area, survive, so to speak, thrive in the area and find your way around despite maybe not speaking the language or whatnot. So, and then separately, I was going to say, we have a coworker who did a service mission for 18 months about in South America. And I've heard her say on multiple occasions, I loved the people there. I had such good experiences. But when I got home, I literally fell down and kissed the ground. And so it really does help you to gain appreciation for.
Because you start to see the differences and things that you appreciate. But I like your term confidence. Because it really does give you a boost of confidence that your horizons and your choices, your options are much, much bigger than they were when you were, just in the hometown.
Sure,
you picked up some languages too, though, didn't you?
I took Spanish throughout elementary school, high school, and even college. And so when I travel to Spanish-speaking countries, I feel more comfortable and people are very patient with me in communicating. But I took Arabic when I lived in Israel. I could choose a language, and so I chose Arabic. And that really opened a lot of doors for me because people were really excited. I was learning about their culture. I was trying. They didn't have money in their schools to learn English, and so they were just so excited. I know a lot of countries aren't like that. They're like, you don't speak my language, I don't even try. But it did. It opened a lot of doors. They'd be like, come to my sister's wedding this weekend, the taxi driver. And we're like, sure.
Yeah.
So it did. It was a great experience that to learn the language or take a cooking class in the area. Like you said, like the local cuisine or... And now when I travel, I always tie in a service project because I feel like it's so important to get to know the people and leave the place you were better than when you got there. So that's kind of become, and I gained that from the study abroad program.
Oh, that's neat. Find out how they live and which opportunities to serve. But I like how you layer in the language too, because I remember learning a couple of the Bantu languages in South Africa, Zulu, Xhosa, and even though I didn't know hardly any of it, just a few little funny phrases, they just love you, you know, because you're trying.
Yeah.
Well, can I just
please
go from there? So you made me think of a couple other things I think the traveling does or getting outside the classroom does, and it makes the world feel smaller. And I think for me, it has given me, it reminds me that the human spirit is really very generous, that we as human beings tend to look out for each other, and you will have total strangers invite you into their home, into their world, into their lives, even though you've just met. And that experience has happened to me many times. And so I leave with this admiration of the human. And it's, I think, easy to get pessimistic, but I just think people are inherently good and they are inherently generous.
And there's a lot of similarities. It reminds me of a time I lived in South Africa. I think I've told you a couple of those stories, but one time I was down in the Siklisha home, and this was in, they lived in Queenstown, which is between two homelands that were created under apartheid. They don't exist anymore under the new South Africa. And anyways, the patriarch of the home was a principal, a school principal, an elementary school principal. But he and I found out that we both loved jazz. And he had a trumpet. And so we had an hour jam session for a little bit. We pulled the trumpets out. He was a big Miles Davis and Quincy Jones fan. And so we just enjoyed. So even though that was on the other side of the world, there was a lot of similarities and
love of music.
Just super fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Miss Udall.
Yes.
Your principal role.
Yes.
You promote tours at every grade level in your school. Tell us a little bit about how you've seen that experience enrich the lives of your scholars.
Okay. So do you want me to talk about the different grade level tours or more just answer the question?
But either way, however you want to take that.
Okay, yep. So our junior high scholars, our 7th and 8th graders, they tour the state that they live in, which is Arizona. And they have the opportunity to either go and explore northern Arizona or southern Arizona. And when we go on those trips, it gives them the opportunity to spend the night in a hotel away from mom and dad. They ride on a bus, they're with a group, and to Lindsay's point, that opportunity away from home and supervision of their parents gives them confidence that then when you offer a longer trip or a different experience, they have that confidence that I can do it.
Sometimes that's their first time away from home overnight.
Absolutely.
Besides grandma or cousins.
Absolutely. And also, I think it gives them pride and ownership in their state, because as people refer to different places, they have context for it. They know, oh, that's in northern Arizona. The Grand Canyon's in northern Arizona. Bisbee and the mine is in southern Arizona. So they learn the geography of their state. And then again, that reinforces their confidence of knowing something. It feels good to learn things. And then just...
Well, seeing the Grand Canyon in person, and in Arizona highways or in a picture book are two completely different things.
Absolutely, because it is so vast. Well, and then like the pink Jeep tour that they take in Sedona.
Oh, that's fun.
It's so much fun. And so these are opportunities they may never have in other, you know, because we don't know what their family situations are like, or they get these opportunities and experiences that they may never have. So that's the junior high. Yeah. And then in our high school, we have Puerto Rico, and we have, and that's a language science tour. So they can practice the language that they're learning in class. The two languages we offer, Spanish and French. But again, to be speaking to a native speaker in their country, practicing the Spanish that you've been studying off a worksheet is a very different experience.
Two different things.
Yes.
Spanish is not created equal.
No, it's not. That is true. And to be eating, you know, food in Puerto Rico that was prepared there in their culture, in their country, is not the same as trying to simulate that in your classroom. And, you know, again, to your point, watching a video of the beautiful, you know, forest, the rainforest they have, or the bioluminescent bay that they have, is not the same as sitting in a canoe or, you know, floating through it at night, running your hand through the water, seeing that bioluminescence. So that's our ninth and 10th. And then we have our history tours, which really are the secret sauce. They are what anchor all of our tours, because we are history focused and understanding our founders and our country. And so we have the Liberty Tour, which is Boston and New York, and going to Boston and walking the Freedom Trail and seeing those very old, comparatively for the U.S., places. And then being in New York, I remember as a child looking up in New York and wondering if the buildings were going to fall.
It's huge.
And just those skyscrapers and the cultural exposure they have to Broadway and to the museums and the art, and, you know, just so neat. And then the Independence Tour is Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Gettysburg. And, you know, each of those places in its own is remarkable. You've got Pennsylvania or Philadelphia, where you have Independence Hall in, you know, the room where it happened, right? And then when you're standing on those battles of Gettysburg, which you have studied in U.S. history, and you realize, oh, here is how tall the hill is. Oh, here is what the valley looks like. Oh, here is how close they were shooting to each other. It gives it such different context. And then studying the Gettysburg Address, whether that be in English or history, you have, you know, you go by that cemetery and you have the feelings of the sacredness of what happened there. And then, of course, Washington, D.C. is where it's all happening now, and visiting the museums and just seeing the Capitol and all of that. It just, it all comes alive in such a different context. And it makes that Constitution, which is very densely written, when you see maybe at the archives, you know, an original copy there signed by those founders. And then as you're standing in front of the Supreme Court and you think about, okay, what is in the Constitution about the Supreme Court? Here's the building and here are the people in it that are the living embodiment of this document. It's just, it's amazing.
With our emphasis at Heritage on teaching history and what that really means for the freedom and prosperity of each individual and family. You know, when you're walking the Lexington Green, it's not just a nice, you know, mowed grassy area, right? I mean, they know the stories, they know the blood that was spilt on that, on those greens or on the bridge at Concord. And some of them have family ties in that area. Some may not. Some may have family ties at Ellis Island when they are at the Statue of Liberty, and they might be able to see their family history come that way. But in any case, hopefully that they see and feel, you know, the Liberty Bell continue to ring in their ears after they leave that those tours. But yeah, anything you want to add here?
I was just going to say, as you've talked to these students and all these trips you've taken them on, like, how have you seen them benefit? I mean, you've already talked about the application of what they were just learning and seeing it in person. And I've had that same experience, but like, how would you, if you were talking to a student that's like, I don't really know about going on a tour, like, how have you seen it affect other students? And what would you say to that?
Well, I was thinking one of the things Heritage, everything at Heritage is about character, building character. And we have the different character pillars that we emphasize. And so like our April pillar is knowledge. And, you know, how do you use knowledge? You can use knowledge to empower. You can use knowledge to control. Like, knowledge in and of itself isn't necessarily a virtue. It's what you do with it. And so what I talk to scholars about is, you know, how could this tour help build your character? We've already talked about the confidence piece. Even you know, you talk about humility. I think that it's easy to be egotistical about America and how great it is, because I think it's great. But you could also be humbled by how lucky we are that this is our country and that we get to live under this government. And so sometimes, you know, you just look at the practical application of the trip, meaning here's all the cool things you're going to see. And then you can take it to the next level of here are the ways you can grow. And it's like any education that you get. It's, you know, the education is there. It's what do you do with it? And one of Heritage's mission points is we want to create servants, people who are citizens who give back to their communities. And I appreciated the comments you made about doing service projects. But sometimes we want to do that, but we don't know what to do. And so the more exposed you are, the more ideas you have of what is possible.
You know, we talk about preparing to go on a tour and things like tax credits and funding and that kind of stuff. And that's some of the process part of it. And hopefully people don't see money as a barrier, because to go on one of our big tours, it's really 4 or 5 tax credits. People think, oh my goodness, it's $2,000. That's a lot of money. I can't do that. Well, it's maybe 5 or 6 phone calls to relatives, and they love to give you that opportunity. So hopefully some of those procedural things are out of the way. But in terms of preparing to go, to really have a good experience, because some people just want to go see Wicked on Broadway, and then that's good. We're good. You know, I got my T-shirt. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And maybe that's all they want. But in order to get the full effect of it, what advice would you give to the scholars to really prepare to get the most out of a tour?
A couple of things is, I think that you read up on where you're going. And so, yes, they've learned some things in school about the different places, but you inform yourself so that you have an idea of why this place is significant. So even if it is Wicked, read up on the musical. Read up on, you know, the music. Read up on why it is such a sensation, because then you've enriched that experience. So I think you read about where you're going. Also, when you're on the trip, be open to the tour guides. They are tour guides and experts in what you are seeing, because they have spent time researching it. And so, and if you've read up on it and you are open to the tour guides, you will inevitably have questions. And then you can ask those questions of the experts of the places that you are visiting.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Let me just add, one time we were in New York, and the tour guide that got on happened to drop the fact that she had a big background in jazz. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, can you just layer in commentary about the jazz scene in New York with all the historical scene? Don't drop any of that.
Yeah.
And so we got 2 tours in one, effectively, because she says, oh, when Louis Armstrong would come, this is where he would stay. Duke Ellington lived here. And she would go on and on. It was so great.
I bet our kids loved it.
Well, I hope they did. Yeah. I think some don't take advantage of the tour guides that much.
Yeah.
And they sit there with their headphones or, you know, their video game or something like that and tune out. Some tour guides are more engaging than others, admittedly. But to your point, engage them and ask them about things, because they really know their stuff.
They do. They do. Ask them questions. And I think the other point I've made is be open to it being different. Because it's very easy to, well, the food is this way and I don't like it, or the bed is this way, or I don't know why this is so cool. You know, be open to the experience. Judge it later. You know, judge it later. But just be open to just what's happening. Try to just take it in.
Especially the food.
Yes.
You can get Chipotle anywhere.
Exactly.
Right? If you're in Boston or New York, you know, have a
eat
cannoli.
Eat a lobster roll.
Yeah, eat a lobster roll.
Yes, New
York.
And
maybe you don't like it, but you've at least enjoyed it.
That's right. That's right. We were in Paris with a a group, and we went to a place that had escargot.
Oh, okay.
And we had a couple of students try the escargot, and they did not like it, but they tried it. And I appreciated that, you know, snails probably wouldn't be top of my list either, but there you go. They tried it because in Paris, that was one of the specialties.
Yeah. No, I like that. Be open to the cultural enrichment, because you might like it.
You maybe. Might. Also, I think there's fear in the unknown. And one of the notes I jotted for myself in preparation for this is that heritage makes it very easy to travel. We set up a system where there's not much you have to be afraid of, meaning you've talked about the process of funding it, but we put together tours that are led by experts who have done this many times. We put our scholars in safe hotels. We put them on buses or transportation. We teach them how to use the transportation if it's in New York City. You know, we talk about the buddy group. And so we try to predict any of those uncertainties as much as we can, but it's a very easy way to travel. And then once you have traveled in a group where mostly everything's done for you, you just really have to show up and take it in. Then you can build the confidence to go explore on your own. So it's a great first step to open that door for travel.
That's fun. And I think only about a third of our scholars are really participating right now. And I think others, they might travel separately, which is great, but I think there's a lot of people that reflect on their time at Heritage, and they do point to these tours as that was an opportunity that I never would have had and never have had since then because of the way that we packaged it over 30 years. I mean, we really have those tours densely packed with, you're not going to do that much probably even if you do it yourself.
Right. And not to diminish what happens in the classroom, because, you know, I value what happens in the classroom. I used to say to my English students, you probably aren't going to remember these essays that you wrote. You might remember some of the books that you read, but I guarantee you will remember your extracurricular activities. So take advantage of those. So as our heritage scholars reflect on their heritage experience, those who went on tours, they absolutely will remember those memories they made with their peers and the places that they saw and just hopefully the understanding that they gained.
Yeah, their experience. And they should write, hopefully they write a good little journal log or what they learned or what they're grateful for. And and thank you each for reflecting on that. I like your theme of confidence and gratitude. And anything else you want to add as we just wrap up this little fun reflection on tours and the value of experiential learning outside the classroom?
I was just going to add, I also agree with preparing ahead of time. And obviously if it's a school trip, then you've been learning about the place you're going to travel. After college, I was in Thailand traveling, and our visa didn't come through to go to Vietnam, so we ended up getting on a plane to Cambodia, and I just picked up a book on Cambodia. And so we get to these cool temples and these wats, and we're exploring, and I'm trying to flip the book and read and figure out the history of the Khmer Rouge and all, you know, what happened to these places. And it was just not as good of an experience because it was an impromptu trip, and it was still a great trip. But if you just learn and prepare before you go, it's such a better experience overall. And so, yeah.
Okay. So will you restate the question?
Well, just, we're just kind of wrapping up, just final thoughts or anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't touched on here about the value of learning outside the classroom. Yeah.
So I brainstormed some ideas of what travel has brought to my life or what learning outside the classroom has brought to my life.
Right.
So some of those are compassion, confidence. It's a great place to network. You learn grit. It gives you perspective of, you know, how big and small the world can be. I think you develop independence, appreciation, and friendships.
Nice.
So just a little anecdote. My family, because my mom is from Germany, we did go to Germany when I was growing up to visit my grandmother. And I remember it was the Christmas between my junior and senior year. It was the only Christmas I spent with my grandmother, that we flew to Germany, my family, and we spent it with her. But on our way, we stopped in Belgium. And we were sitting in this restaurant and we met this man from Pakistan. And my dad was a pretty gregarious man and pulled him over. The man, it was Christmas No, it wasn't Christmas Eve because we were in Germany. Anyway, he sat with us at dinner and he became a lifelong friend, this man that my father continued to correspond with. And then the same experience with someone from Mongolia. We had this man, he ended up coming to ASU. He was in our home numerous times. And as you take the learning out of the classroom, but then when you bond these people to your life is changed and hopefully their life is changed in really great ways.
That's great.
Anything I was just going to add that, yeah, my study abroad changed me. It was really a life-changing experience, and we still have reunions. Mm-hmm. So we'll have reunions this like semester class, and we keep in touch. And now with Facebook, it's easy to keep in touch. But I don't keep in touch with other friends from other semesters of college. Like, it was such a unique experience, and we all had these crazy cool experiences together, that is a bond that will always be with us. And even when I was over there, I met people in Israel. I met people from the States who I kept correspondence with. Back then it was, letters or email. But lifelong relationships just through, taking a step out. And I love that we tour Arizona. My daughter is in junior high at Heritage Academy, so she's already done the Southern Arizona tour and is going to do the Northern Arizona coming up. But I think it's so great because I'm embarrassed. I haven't taken her to the Grand Canyon yet. But growing up, I didn't ever go to the Grand Canyon. And then the first time I traveled internationally and people asked where I was from and I said Arizona and they're like, oh, the Grand Canyon, what's that like? And I was like, I've never been. And so I just, it cemented the idea that it's really important to get to know the place you live and the wonders of the world that are right around you. And it doesn't have to be, a plane ride away. It can be a couple hour drive from your home. And so I love that we study Arizona and the history and the places and the geography. And just so that it's like makes home even more special.
And to capitalize on that, we had a tour guide in Italy. Her name was Nancy, and she was phenomenal. And we were in awe that we were in Rome and we're raving about the Colosseum and everything we're seeing. And one day she said to our group of teenagers in a little bit of a stern way, she said, what we have here in Rome is very impressive, but do you realize in the United States you have the most beautiful landscapes? We Europeans go to the United States to visit your landscapes, and you come to Europe to visit our history. So appreciate what you have, especially since she knew we were from Arizona.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Thank you for those stories.
Thanks.
That was fun to listen and learn from each of you. And those themes are very valuable. So we hope that people listening to this will be excited about tours. Wherever you are, make sure you see what your school offers or your community offers. There's definitely community tours as well. And don't forget your backyard.
That's right.
Don't forget what's right in your very own backyard. It might seem mundane until you go there and realize, wow, I'm sitting on this little diamond just right in the backyard. So thank you again. And those of you that are listening, if you like what you heard, please like, subscribe on your favorite podcast player. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.